Accessing.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex. Presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
In the green room now. That's how close we are. We're less than an hour away from the NFL draft. And no draft would be complete without players wearing the sunglasses inside the building.
Hey, man, I wear my stunning shades at night.
Jaden Daniels, likely going to be the second quarterback and probably the second overall pick taken in the draft, unless things go completely crazy. Hey, Booger McFarland's honoring your guys. JJ's wearing the full Broncos gear right now.
Is that how ugly it looks?
Good booger.
He's going full Bronco on you.
Orange and blue. Midnight blue even.
Yeah. I think there's something going on there. All right. Welcome back to the program. Our show, as always, is brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients and no preservatives make the G2G Bar perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Let's kick off the show, as we always do, with the cut. We'll get things going here. We're less than an hour away from the start of the NFL draft, so let's get right to it right here. So jump in.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
See, that teases me a little bit too much when we're this close to the draft, though.
I mean, we're watching it too, so yeah. It's
my favorite is when it is so known what the first couple of picks are going to be.
Like what's taking so long?
We do the pick is in, and then you hear that, and you go, we already know what we're doing here. And then why even put the next team on the clock, right? Where you're like sitting there, and you go, we already know what they're going to do here. Come on.
Formalities, Alex. Formalities.
I know. Well, you got to, the commissioner's got to be able to wipe his brow, you know? He gets a little sweaty up there.
With the money, the $60 million.
he's just wiping the sweat off with all that cash. Oh, my goodness.
The best part of the draft is the Roger Goodell bro hug.
Yeah. The bro hug.
Lloyd set it off first off.
When they come out and when the commissioner comes out and gets absolutely booed, that's also really fun.
I love that part. Love that part.
And you know what? At this point, he eats it up because he knows, like you said, he knows how much money he gets. Marvin Harrison Jr. also with the sunglasses.
Malik Nabers with the sunglasses. I like Marvin Harrison Jr.'s fit.
Roma Dunze, glasses. I'm not taking that kid. he's sending back.
Is that a red flag? He's not wearing shades at the draft. I think it's a red flag.
Throw him out. All right. So we've got tons to jump into here, but I do want to break down the presumed number one overall pick and Caleb Williams, who we've seen a lot of, not just B-roll now. It's all him at the draft. He was yucking it up with his now former coach, Lincoln Riley, who was there in person. But I think the more interesting thing is whether or not that guy's going to hit. Before we get to what Merrill Hodges' comments were, JJ, and I'll get sly, I want to know where you're at on this. Is this a guy that you go, well, you have to take him, and he probably will pay off for a team who takes him, whoever takes him, even if it is the awful Bears?
I don't think that you can take the best. Like, so if C.J. Stroud last year would have been drafted by the Panthers, I think he would have struggled, if I'm being honest, because the Panthers were not good. The Texans were good. To act like the Texans turned around just because of C.J. Stroud is ignorant. They drafted really well. They brought in a great coach. Like, he really instantly brought them a toughness and a culture that was missing there and an identity.
D'Amico Ryan has brought the entire
D'Amico
culture
Ryan's
change.
D'Amico Ryan is a really good coach, and he gave them an edge. Defensively, they were really good. And then on offense, I mean, C.J. Stroud didn't have just nobody throwing the ball to. Like, Tank Dell was really good.
Nico Collins.
Nico Collins really good. Dalton Schultz was really good. Dalton Schultz is a Pro Bowl level tight end.
They're all, you're going to win a Super Bowl in Texas. And he's all, but here's the twist. It's not with Cowboys. The Cowboys.
So when he left Dallas, you're like, Dalton, what are you doing? And now I'm like, oh.
Smart. And they already extended him, right?
Smart. Yeah, he just signed again. Yeah. So he's going to be in Texas with Houston for a while. And
that's
so
awesome.
It wasn't just CJ. It was everything that surrounded him, allowed him to be successful. Yes, he was ready. Yes, he did right out of the gate come out awesome. Didn't throw any interceptions. But there was a structure there that allowed him to do that. Just because Caleb Williams is so good and generationally good as a talent doesn't guarantee you any success. There's been plenty of examples of really talented quarterbacks who went to the wrong place to begin with and then take off, right?
Sly, throw your previous thoughts of Caleb Williams. Erase them from your mind. It's hard to do. But because you stood on those sidelines and watched that guy in all of these different moments. But throw all that out and look at the guy who you also got to see in person play. Is he going to be a dude in the NFL?
Yes. I think he's the guy you take at number one. All my other feelings and other stuff, it's all circumstantial. It could happen. It could happen. It's not 50-50. It's not guaranteed that that's what it's going to be. He goes into a good situation here. I'm just looking at the draft list. You get Caleb Williams at number one and Brock Bowers at number nine.
Ooh,
or you trade
boy.
Up those two together.
If the Bears pull that off, that's a nice combo.
Did you see that? But did you see that Caleb Williams actually threw out an offensive tackle name at nine that he would like to have protecting
him?
He's
already going into his ownership mode.
I hate that. It was like, right. Don't do that. If Brock Bowers is available,
you take Brock Bowers. A quarterback's, like, you see how valuable Travis Kelce is to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? That is huge. You take Travis Kelce over Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, get you big touchdowns. You take Travis Kelce because that's a surefire thing. Brock Bowers is tough, can cut that best tight end we've seen in a very, very long time.
Dalton Kincaid, by the way, made an immediate impact. Was he 17th overall last year?
No.
Or 20th maybe?
Yeah.
Either way.
I'll look that up while you guys talk.
So
26 or 27.
He made an immediate impact for that Bills team, and he was, you know, considered an exceptional tight end.
25th overall,
an exceptional tight end. Brock Bowers won the last two Mackey Awards. Now, he probably shouldn't have won this last one. It was like a thank you for your service.
I didn't know you could play half a season and win a national award like
that. So it happens when you get to the SEC. As I said, those NFL guys,
they
too.
Know.
It just means more.
Now, yeah. he is at a level of talent that could change an organization.
Yeah. Watching him is great.
You pick a guy like Caleb Williams and then Brock Bowers, like, suddenly your attitude about Chicago might change entirely.
I mean, you already got Keenan Allen over there, yes. A veteran receiver who
That's
wants
fair.
To win.
They have made moves. There's no doubt about that. They did make moves.
DJ Moore staying there,
in
too,
preparation,
right?
for Caleb Williams coming, which will help him. I talked about the structure with CJ Stroud. Is that going to be enough with what the Bears have done since? I don't like their head coach. I don't like their system.
Right.
I mean, look what they did to Justin Fields. It was just brutal. Why is that suddenly going to change?
Eberflus is right? He's the coach.
Yeah,
he's
still
coach.
The guy.
Yeah.
He's still the head coach.
I mean, they did make some changes on the offensive side, but I don't love the culture with the Bears, and there's just historically, name one Chicago Bears quarterback that has become an all-pro quarterback in that town. And it hasn't happened.
Caleb Williams could be that guy.
Even Jim McMahon because of injuries, never reached that potential and level.
Everybody there in Chicago is already, like, they've been burned so many times. More recently, I mean, very recently, by Justin Fields, who was part of that 2021 class, by the way.
Mitch Trubisky.
Jay Cutler, like, started to get kind of going a little bit, and then he floundered. But there's not been any consistency even. So I'm interested to see. But if that scenario plays out, I actually would change my entire attitude how the Bears organization would be if they were able to get Caleb Williams and Brock Bowers.
It's a big possibility. Everybody's talking about these receivers. I haven't heard a lot about Brock Bowers, but I'm just like, he's available. You get those two together, two first-round picks. You can get some guys in the second round as far as your O-linemen, some defensive guys. But that team was already – they were pretty competitive with nothing.
Let's listen to what Merrill Hodge said this morning on DJ and PK about not just the quarterback class. We heard that earlier, but man, what his thoughts are on Caleb Williams, which also isn't necessarily glowing, but I think at this point you know he's going to go number one. But here's what Merrill Hodge said about Caleb Williams.
Now, Caleb Williams, actually, accuracy is elite. I love his accuracy. His processing, though, from the pocket, and keep in mind, college pocket is a very clean pocket. You have 4 seconds, sometimes 5 seconds. In the National Football League, in fact, in practice, we put a clock on, and after 2.5 seconds, that ball better be gone. In 2.5 seconds, the pocket's dirty. And there's all kinds of, I played in that pocket. I lived in that pocket. I made the league by being able to play on third downs as a pass protector and a back that ran routes and could do things on third down. So I've lived in that pocket. I've studied it for 40 years. I know what that environment is all about, and it is a hard environment to transition to. And if you can't do that, you're going to get engulfed, and you're going to get – it's going to be overwhelming to you. Now, he doesn't function that well in college from that perspective, in a clean pocket or a dirty pocket. His processing is below average. That'll have to get a lot better. He is elusive. But comparing to Patrick Mahomes, there's absolutely no comparison. I see nothing. I mean, he's 6'1", Patrick Mahomes is 6'3". Patrick Mahomes went to a playoff team, some of the best coaching in the history of the National Football League. He sat a year, and he had a mentor. Caleb Williams is not going to a playoff team, does not have the best coaching in the history of the National Football League, is going to play and has no mentor. And he has another level of expectation that he is Patrick Mahomes. We missed out on him because we got Mitch Trubisky, and now we got our guy, and they're going to expect playoffs, and they're going to expect championships. And so that's going to be a tough, arduous think of. So you got to find out where he is mentally. Is he a tough kid? Is he a weak kid? Is he a self-anointed punk, or can he handle the pressure that's coming his way? Like, you have to figure those things out, and all of those things are going to matter in his ability to transition. And there's a lot of things that he does not put on display that he does very well with that. It's an arduous task. You know, just because he was great in college, just because he has a Heisman Trophy, irrelevant to playing in the National Football League.
It's almost a bigger negative, right? I mean, like from the history of what
he's speaking Heisman straight facts. Everything he said. I do love Caleb Williams, even when he extends plays. I think he's better at extending plays than other people because he has a surprisingly strong base. He can shed tacklers really well, but I don't know how well that will translate to the league. You got to get that ball out. He doesn't do that. He waits for his guys to get open. What I loved about Caleb Williams is he does have command of the offense. His pre-snap reads are really good, but caveat to what Hodge said, you don't have good mentors. You don't have a staff that screams, I'm going to succeed here. I don't have that offensive prowess of, you know, schemers as far as offensive play callers when you go to Chicago. You don't have that around that you had with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, that you had with Belichick and in New England with Tom Brady. You don't have those things. And so can he withstand that? And that last part of what he said is, is his character going to allow him to develop?
You were asking about all-pro Bear quarterbacks. Now, that we know that there are, in recent memory, none. Since 1951, Pro Bowl Bear quarterbacks, since 1951, 5. That's not a good number.
Jeez.
5 Pro Bowl quarterbacks since 1951.
5 different guys or 5 different years? Only 5 times.
No, I think it's only 5 quarterbacks. So two different times for Ed Brown in 55 and 56.
We all remember old Ed Brown.
Of course. Billy the Sundance Kid Wade in 1963. I know he's one of your favorite guys. You still have his
banner year for the Bears.
Football card. Jim McMahon's the only one that you recognize at all besides Mitch Trubisky, who I think he was in the Pro Bowl the double doink year, right? Isn't that
Mitch
when it
Trubisky
was?
Mitch Trubisky was in the Pro Bowl?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I think we all kind of know that the Pro Bowl is taking a little bit of a quality hit.
Pro Bowl, was he all pro?
No, zero. No, none of these guys. Not even close.
So the quarterback on the Bears roster right now is Tyson Bagent. Is that his mentor?
Arm wrestling. His dad's arm wrestling.
That's the kind of guy you buy his jersey number from him. Right? That's the guy. That's the guy that you buy the jersey number from.
Right.
It's just it's wild. You know, we have all these examples of hindsight being 2020. I mean, you can't go into these drafts and go, "Well, I knew that so and so was going to be amazing." What you didn't hear Merrill Hodge say there is that he's not going to go first overall, or that he didn't deserve to go first overall, because it's like, if you're a really, really good quarterback, that's one thing. But what he was saying was, is I don't care about any of the accolades in college, because we've seen how little the Heisman Trophy carries you.
Translates.
Yes.
Look at Reggie Bush.
Well,
it used to be a running joke that if you won the Heisman, you weren't going to make it in the NFL.
Well, that's my thing. Like, Reggie Bush is great, NFL and the pros, but like, it was a difference. It wasn't
Reggie
as
Bush
easy.
Wasn't the all-pro
it
star.
It wasn't what you NFL saw in college translating to the pros.
Quarterbacks specifically are like really, really hard to hit on.
Oh, yes.
Really hard to hit on. And the good news is, now, Joe Burrow, you got your Joe Burrows, but those examples are fewer and further between. Because
I think he has time to prove himself to be that guy.
You'll always have a Jason White that you'll look at and go, hey now, even a Matt Leinart.
Andre Ware tore it up, right? Troy Smith, Ohio State.
Ty Detmer. I mean, come on. So there are a lot of quarterbacks who've won. Tim Tebow. What a good guy.
Chris Wanky.
Who's there? Josh Rosen? Josh Rosen had a great college grade.
He didn't win the Heisman, though.
No.
But it's a good example of a guy that we thought was going to be a star in the
NFL.
And he was not good.
I'm like, boy's frailer than Woody from Toy Story.
Do you think that Bryce Young actually is a decent quarterback? He just went to a bad, because you said that he would have been bad. CJ Stroud would have been bad going to the.
I don't agree with JJ.
I didn't say he would have been bad. I said he wouldn't have been a star. He wouldn't have had the success that he had
with Frank Wright.
Well, Frank Wright did he? I mean, Frank Wright got fired middle of the year,
right?
That was a bad
was the worst situation any quarterback could have gone into last year.
Situation means a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
What's the best situation for a quarterback right now?
It's a great question.
You either get with a quarterback guru like a Sean Payton, right? Cliff Kingsbury, right? You get with somebody who understands quarterbacks, understands you. Like, I think that Trevor Lawrence, now he may not be this guy, right? But he benefited when Doug Peterson got there.
Sure.
Right? So I think you either have that or have somebody you can learn from. Andy Reid, quarterback guy, right?
Plus, you have the double whammy of a really great quarterback coach, head coach, and then a veteran to sit behind,
a professional to sit behind.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah,
right? In a perfect world, you go to the Kansas City Chiefs and sit behind Patrick Mahomes for 14 years.
Because he's what, 28?
That was his how many years in the league? 19 was his first year.
Jeez.
He's only 28 years old.
Yeah. 4 Super Bowls, 3 championships.
Yeah. But you heard Merrill Hodge say it.
He's do not do
the comparisons. Don't do the comparisons. It's a disservice to him, and it's also kind of a diss on Patrick Mahomes.
And I agree with him. I don't think that they have things where they make spectacular plays, and that's what people are saying are each other, but they are not each other.
All right.
I think there's just so many teams in the NFL that are desperate for that
guy.
And there's not that many. How many, like, star NFL quarterbacks are there right now? I mean, can you even get to a dozen? Do you feel comfortable saying there's a dozen?
I mean,
like,
if I look at what people are being paid, I'd say, yeah.
If you look at Pro Bowl picks, backups are making the Pro Bowls
Kirk
now.
Kirk Cousins is good,
but
he's getting paid like a Hall of Famer.
He is.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and there's
check
a reason.
Out some of these,
this is his second Hall of Fame contract,
check out some
by
of these
the
guys' paychecks.
Yeah, because Washington and Minnesota and now Atlanta were so desperate to have a quarterback, and they felt he was worth the price.
Mm.
Was he? Probably not. But, again, and it's not fair to him because he's been really good. If you knew where he was drafted and what he was supposed to be, he's far exceeded any expectations he had when he came into the league.
True.
But his money has changed the way you look at him.
Right.
It's pretty wild. I'm trying to think of – let's just go through – NFL put a list. So this will be the last thing we do in this segment before we get – by the way, we're talking NFL next as well because it's our NFL roundup.
Sly's been waiting all day.
I know. We're finally going to be able to get to some NFL talk, all right? So this is what their power ranking of quarterbacks was on NFL.com right now at the very end of the season. Lamar Jackson 1, Dak Prescott 2, Josh Allen 3, Matthew Stafford 4, Tua Tagovailoa 5, Jared Goff 6. You have to remind yourselves of the seasons that some of these guys had, because I've already been like, Dak Prescott, seriously, number 2? Brock Purdy, number 7.
You're just saying this season.
This is just from this last. This is just from the last
QBR?
Season. This is the right. This is no. This is the. This is what they call their power rankings of quarterbacks.
Okay. Okay.
This is the NFL did it. It's fine. It's fine. number 6. Did I ever say that? Jared Goff. 7 is Brock Purdy. 8 is C.J. Stroud. 9's Patrick Mahomes. They probably
throw
I
this
guess
list
they
in the
I
garbage.
Guess they didn't do a re-rank after the Super Bowl.
Throw it in the garbage.
From a numbers standpoint, though, everyone was looking at Patrick Mahomes
he
going
did
to the
not
playoffs.
Have,
right.
He did not
everyone
have
looked and goes, this is
that's
the worst
fair.
Year he had.
That's fair.
And then what he did in the playoffs became even more exceptional because he had to go on the road, what, twice?
Twice. Buffalo and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins, 10. Jordan Love, 11. Joe Flacco, 12. Those are your, according to this, your top 12.
What was Josh Allen on that list?
3.
He was 3?
Yeah.
So you get to the teens and you start talking about Joe Flacco, who
right.
is...
Like Baker Mayfield's 14, you know, Justin Herbert 17, Geno Smith 18. Yeah, so a lot of these guys, as soon as you get there.
No Russell Wilson? You see that, JJ?
Would you stop that?
Hey, he plays for you now, Sly, not me.
Hey, now.
For you.
Ciara is going to be our halftime show. That's right. It's going to be good.
I'm trying to see how far down it is before you get to Zach Wilson. 32.
Keep scrolling.
32. All right. Take a break here. 32. Stop. Don't. You knew that's where it was. Come on. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to go. NFL Roundup is next, so stay right here. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Some traffic around California Avenue and then southbound I-15. The latest wreck is just reported about 106 south, south end of the valley. Worst of the delays in Utah County between Lehigh and...
News and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Pick is in. Absolute worst outfit on TV right now is Booger McFarland, by far. By far. Or that Texans guy in the back. Look at that. They're battling. There's
a
guy wearing
cape?
A cape, yes, and he's wearing a mariachi.
That's weird.
That's
he's wearing
awesome.
A Houston. He's
about?
Wearing a Houston Texans mariachi
okay.
hat.
Look, we all of us in this room, we love football, right?
Yes.
The people that go to the draft, that's a different level of love.
Oh, well, look yeah. at these guys. Oh, so yeah.
like, that's the
group.
Weirdest of the weird.
They keep look. If you wear weird enough outfits,
ring
they've been showing this all these guys all day. These are the Detroit Lions fans who made. Super Bowl rings that you wear on your head, they are phenomenally detailed.
Yes.
And they also don't exist because, because no one has ever sung this song in the Super Bowl. Get that out of here. Oh, my gosh. The Honolulu Blue in Detroit. But look at that. Look at that. Look at that Detroit Lion on the Super Bowl ring. These guys went all right. These guys went all out. I love it.
That's fandom right there. JJ's right. There's a different level.
It is.
That's down there.
We are
guys you wouldn't leave your they're guys you wouldn't leave your kids alone with. Let me just say that.
They would I don't know. They'd be feeding my kids.
Off the sheer smell alone.
And some margaritas.
let me roll this out. 15 minutes they said until they really kind of start getting in. 25 minutes, so we start getting into it. Where were you 25 minutes before the draft of 2010, because I know it was running your head through a wall, but you didn't have to think much about this because you weren't going to be a first round guy.
Right.
You started sweating on day 2.
Yeah.
So day 1 was just kind of fun, high five some people, but listen to see if they call you and just in case.
I mean, you always have your phone on you, but you're always interested, right? Because it's like you want to see who your potential teammates are. So you're paying attention to everything. Whose team's taking what?
Yep.
You already know who's on the rosters currently, but you want to know what new additions they want, right?
Was there a watch party at the Sylvester home?
No, I did not want a lot of people around. Simply so my family that was at the house, which is at the house. But I'm telling you, as soon as I got picked, it was like everybody picked and came around on the corners, came around the block. There was people driving in their cars waiting for the moment because there was like 5 cars that pulled up to my house like right after I got drafted. I'm like, were you just in the neighborhood?
Oh,
that's funny. But 25 minutes before, I was chilling, man. Yeah. It's good. You want to relax. You want to watch it. Like me right now, I don't go to Super Bowl parties. If I want to watch a game, I don't watch it with people. It's kind of like the gym. I was telling you about the gym.
I don't go to the gym. And also watching movies, we're seeing a trend here.
Yeah. Slide doesn't
like to be around anybody. Anytime.
My wife doesn't care, so I just tell her to be quiet. Just stay over there. Keep your cadaver feet off me.
So you
cadaver feet?
Yeah, because they're freezing cold.
Freezing cold.
That's awesome.
And we're good. And I can watch LeBron James in peace. And I can watch, you know, my Steelers play the Super Bowl.
But you don't get, like, angst on draft day. Because I've been around guys who are like,
well,
I can't
like
even.
Right now or before?
No, like, no, I'm just saying like.
PTSD.
No. Yeah, like draft day for you is like a negative experience.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You'll always be able to carry that through.
No, I mean, I think you can't do anything about the past, so it's not like I'm going to change me. Like, no, I wanted to be picked sooner.
Sure.
So there's nothing I can do about it. I just think it's an interesting process from thinking what GMs, teams, coaches. Like, again, we talked about the Puka Nacua story with Sean McVay last year, right? How he detailed how he wanted Puka Nacua. I love stuff like that. So that's what I want to watch here. I love to watch war rooms and stories that the NFL, ESPN have put together on certain players and all of that. That's very, very interesting to me.
I actually went and looked at this earlier today because I thought, I wonder what the actual prospect grade was that Puka Nacua got. So Puka Nacua got a 5.8, which is like my favorite because they'll put what that describes underneath it. Any guesses on what 5.8 was in the NFL for Puka Nacua?
No idea.
Special teams.
Average backups or special teamer. You got it.
Wow.
I probably was a 5.8.
And you know what?
Did you have 1,400 yards receiving your rookie year?
No. Situational.
See? Round 5, pick 42. Everybody missed. Now, except for the Rams, who were like, we're going to be able to steal this guy because everybody else has forgotten about
him. A team
him.
Without a first-round pick ends up getting first-round value in the fifth round. That's a lesson, right?
That's
a lesson.
And they became a playoff team after we were going to put them. Everybody put him.
Nobody thought they'd make playoffs.
Cooper Kupp didn't play like the first, what, seven?
He missed the first month.
Yeah.
The first of,
Best thing that could have happened to Puka Nacua.
I mean, yeah, but he tore it up.
Yep.
Opportunity.
Because now they have these insane threats, right, that are on the whoever's the – by the way, good quarterback situation to go into. Who was it that was brought up as being an L.A. backup to Matt Stafford?
Bo Nix.
Oh, really?
Yes. By the way, that's the underrated spot.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm a rookie,
we talk about situation, like right situation. I want to be drafted by the Rams tonight. If I'm any of those quarterbacks, because
you guys are right.
I want to play with McVay. I want to be coached by McVay.
And I have talent that's there already.
Stafford's already there, but he's almost done.
He can't make it through a full season.
Right. And you got all that talent on that team, and you get to live in L.A.?
Oh, my gosh.
That's the spot.
Oh, you're right.
Hold on. I don't want to get picked by the Patriots.
I always love this. Hold on. I love to read the weaknesses. Here's Puka Nacua's weaknesses. All right. Now we're a year removed, obviously. Weaknesses. Will struggle mightily to elude the NFL press coverage. Lacks acceleration to separate. Upright route running makes him an easy target to redirect. By the way, he pushed everyone out of the way. It didn't matter
since
who it was.
High school.
I know.
Yeah.
One strength.
All right, so who are these evaluators?
I don't know. Does not have long speed to keep corners.
At bay.
Occasional issues with focus on downfield targets.
Like, did you guys watch any
there was
tape?
Not, there was not, like... I was just insane.
It's like
we could
do
this every
about.
Year.
There's just so many lazy... There's so we many organizations could, do that don't year. Invest in scouting. And there's so many scouts that are lazy.
That's bizarre to me. You get paid to do this.
So here's what the latest is now that we're 15 minutes away from the draft actually starting up. Here are the most recent rumors. The Patriots taking Drake May at 3 is like everybody is in their dog saying that that's actually
that's where
the
you
likelihood.
Don't want to go. Can you imagine?
But Drake, that's all. Drake May is also who the Patriots don't want.
That's the wrong quarterback with the wrong organization, Sly.
I think Gerard Mayo is smarter than that. I'm going to give Gerard Mayo some credit. I think he's smarter than that.
He's not the one making the call.
But he has influence.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's going to have to talk him out of that. That is a disaster waiting to happen. That is not going to go well.
I don't believe that'll be it.
The Giants will do whatever they can to get Marvin Harrison as a target for their own Daniel Jones, who they've overpaid mightily. It's not a bad thing to go after.
Yeah. You got to have somebody to bail him out.
Go to the Cardinals or the Giants. I believe that. Yeah.
But that was what was brought up. The Cardinals might be trying to trade that fourth pick.
They can. There's so much receiver talent. Why not? Why get some capital?
Yeah.
If they were smart.
If you could trade down and get Adunze and you get additional picks, I'm doing that.
I'm doing that. But here's my thing is these organizations, we talked about Arizona, both the Coyotes and the Cardinals are not the smartest.
Right.
This is a weird one. You ready for this? Marvin Harrison Jr. has still not signed an NFLPA licensing agreement. Now, what does that mean? His name, image, and likeness cannot be monetized currently if you don't sign it. Everybody in the history of the world has signed this, okay? His jersey will not be available for purchase, and he can't be in video games until he signs that deal. What is he holding out on? Yeah, the jersey can't be sold.
Is his dad telling him to do that? That doesn't make any sense.
It's some kind of influence to where it's like, he's probably thinking that there's some kind of longer individual. This is the whole world of NIL right now, right?
Right.
There's probably some other way of him being able to monetize his stuff individually. Kind of like guys like, were we talking about that? Or somebody else brought it up to me. I think my mom brought it up to me. We were talking the other night, and we were watching a basketball game. And
you didn't just confuse JJ and I for your mom, did you?
I was just talking about a conversation. We've talked a lot of sports.
Sure.
You know, and there's so many basketball players that's wearing no brands. It's not Nike. It's not Adidas. It's not Under Armour. Mm. They're wearing no brand shoes. And for me, that's correlating to this. Like, maybe there's an outside deal that he's trying to do. It's like, nobody can make money off of me but me.
Mm.
And so he might be trying to start a new trend, whatever that is. But, again, I told you this, JJ. This is something my linebacker coach told me. Don't ever try to be bigger than the game.
Yep.
Don't matter how much money you are, don't matter who you are, don't try to be bigger than the game.
And that would suck when you go to play Madden and you're in the NFL and you're not in the game.
He doesn't care.
Nameless wide receiver on a random team that obviously he gets drafted by.
But that's his likeness. You can't even get his likeness.
He can't even do that. Yep. He can't even be on the roster.
Well, EA Sports. It's in the game.
Not Marverson.
I'm not in the game. All right. I love it. They're bringing out what they think is likely going to be the top picks. Yeah, they're making them go out. They're making them all
go out there. Pink suit.
I think isn't there only like 13 players there?
I don't know how many guys.
A lot of people
turned
down invites.
Yeah, I mean,
JJ McCarthy's not there. He didn't even respond.
Oh, is that a little bit along the lines? Who was it that did not get the email? That wasn't you, was it, Sly?
Oh, for the combine.
It was for the combine.
I didn't get the email for the combine.
That's right.
And you're supposed to mail it to your agent.
It went to your other email.
My agent.
It went to your Hotmail address.
So pissed.
Oh my gosh. But you made it. You still made it.
I ended up making it.
They called you. All right. Paul. Oh. Drake May made the trip though. Yeah. And then at this point, yeah, look, this is all quarterbacks. No, because Marvin Harrison. Oh, no, here we go. Quinion Mitchell and then Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, I like all these wide receivers, man. I can't decide between all these wide receivers.
It's a great group.
Yeah.
Every guy that walks out, I'm like, no, that's my guy.
And if Hans Olsen was here, he'd tell you how great this offensive line is.
Oh, see?
Like, we get a big heavy in here, then he'll be like, oh, these guys are great. And they really are.
These guys can move guys.
Are the tackles? Are the
it's
offensive
a good draft
tackles?
Class.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there we go. Now we got an edge rusher. See some of the big guys coming out.
All right.
We're going to take a break here. We'll
Dallas
come back.
Turner? Where's Dallas Turner at?
Before we do, nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest. That's kslsports.com/contest. Let's celebrate the efforts of those volunteers that make an impact in your community. Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals. Nominate that great youth sports volunteer. I don't care if it's a team mom. I don't care if it's that. Maybe it's that guy at the city offices who just absolutely does a phenomenal job with your local sports and helps out all the kids and make sure to get your kid off that waiting list onto the team. Whatever it might be, you nominate that person, kslsports.com/contest, and we will make them the Hercules Hero of the Week. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have a best and worst for today. And JJ hit us up early with the best. And you know what? Has not been unseated yet. This is the best story of the day so far. It's pretty darn cool. Stay right here.
From Rocky Mountain Chevy.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
I'm screwed. I'm not cheap.
We've talked too much about good food today to be able to... JJ, we're going to be fine. You know why? Because you and I are doing this together. Right?
That's right.
I'm not going to cheat. You don't cheat.
I'll watch from afar.
I can still eat steak. I'm good.
Sly, you don't have this problem.
Summer body loading right now is where I'm at.
I'm just like waiting for Sly to hit his 40s like us. JJ.
No. I'm 35 forever.
And then he's just and then he's going to be like, I started getting those mini burritos like you said.
Let's just be honest. Sly's 40s are going to be a lot different than our 40s.
Yes.
Okay? I feel pretty comfortable
saying getting pinch runners for me on my community softball team. I mean, come on.
From home plate.
From home plate. Go ahead and run.
I'll hit it. You run
Go
for
ahead
me.
And run. This portion of the show, our best and worst, brought to you by Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. An incredible selection of Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, all available. Doug Smith, of course, great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows like Doug. Hey, Doug. The best of the day is Puka Nacua getting one of the sweetest deals. Speaking of which, by the way, a year ago today, if you were able to look into the future and see this moment happening, JJ, I'll let you roll the story out, because we just read all of his draft grades and all the negatives and why you shouldn't take this guy, and he ends up being a fifth round steal for the Rams. And I woke up and saw this very same thing, because my kid is nuts about shoes, and this is the kind of stuff that he freaks out about. So for all you sneakerheads out there, what do we have as the best of the day?
Yeah, this is the – I'll read the headline. And again, put yourself in last year. Like, go back in time last year, and I'm reading you this headline. What would you have said? Jordan Brand signs NFL stars Max Crosby and Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua is now a Jordan Brand representative. Now, there's Nike representatives, and of course the Jordan Brand is – In the Nike family, but there's something somebody different gets signed to a Jordan Brand.
Oh yeah,
and so when
it's
you see
exclusive,
this
exclusive athlete,
think about it. And they have this cool shoot, and he's wearing, I think those look like some Jordan 5s maybe. He's wearing on that couch. Get your feet off the couch, Puka. Your mom taught you better than that. Come on. No, but I mean,
hey,
honestly,
you buy another one now.
Rolling out all these shoes. No, those are the. I think these are the fours. These are the four. No, these are fives. I know my Jordans. Those are the fives. Those are the J5s.
Come on now, Alex.
But Puka right there, best offensive rookie that we've seen in a long time in terms of production. And now he's got his name attached to the Jumpman brand, man. That's pretty dang cool.
That's dope.
It's a pretty exclusive group. I mean, Jalen Hurts, Davante Adams, Cameron Jordan, Deebo Samuel. That, I mean, this is the best players in the game, and he's among them. I mean, it's just
Drake Mazel. We had Jordan on our jerseys at North Carolina.
No, North Carolina did. You didn't have.
Oh, okay. So I'm not a Jordan athlete? I thought I was getting part of the deal. Come on. So, yes, that's the best of the day. The worst is we brought up the bro hug earlier. And I'm trying to think. I mean, this year everybody would want to give him the bro hug. But you are not allowed to hug Roger Goodell this year. You can't hug Roger Goodell on the stage.
COVID?
I know. I thought the same thing.
Rabies? Like, what does he have?
Recovering from back surgery.
Mm. Oh, come on. Yeah. There's only 13 guys.
Watch one of these big guys still pick him up and be like.
Oh,
I can't wait to Dallas
Turner. I wonder
Turner.
If that's why he needs back surgery is after All years and years of drafts, giving 300-pound guys bro hugs.
Getting a bam right on the back there. Go full, break off some of these sutures. By the end of the night, they show him. He's like Kurt Schilling up on the stage,
he's
bleeding
got a bloody
through his
suit.
White shirt. Oh, my goodness. There you go. All right. Sly, thanks for hanging out today.
Of course, man.
We had an awesome time. So the draft coverage, of course, all of it continuing, and we'll be back again tomorrow to be able to roll out as much as we can on a reaction of who's going to be this year's Puka Nacua based off of just the draft order alone. So there you go. All right, we'll take the quick break. We'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The Kiss, Sports Zone.
Take the zone with